Okay, now consider turning on to the second part of the of Monday's discussion. Tom is asking basically about why the original projection that I had for a low in perhaps late 2010 has changed, and then you know, having a new forecast based on the arrival of the advanced decline team, which I believe is absolutely reliable, that, you know, how would you want to count out the declines and their wave structure? And so, but there's a lot of details in what he's asking. And so I thought I'd just go through the analysis that what I should have probably done before, because it's a little bit more complicated. But the basic thing is that is the 40-year cycle, because in T-theory, you're always doing things in time, not in the price dimensions. So, and if you're doing it in the amplitude direction, we usually do it off the oscillator, which is the, down the lower part of the picture. So let's just, first of all, do a quick calculation on the basis of an oscillator, the oscillator's conclusion that there's a 40-year cycle here. You'll see up in the channels up above, I showed that from 1929 to the peak in of the prices in the Dow to 2007 is 78 years. If you have a 40-year cycle, it should be 80 years, but that's only a marginally interesting case where it came out exactly right. It's basically it fluctuates and so forth. But if you look at some of the dates you in that chart and you take recognize the fact that the average stock peaked in 1968, not in 66 where the Dow was at 1,000, 68 it was 1,000, and in January 73 it was also at 1,000. And so you get some confusion as to where the top was for the Dow Industrials. But when you look at the advanced decline line, or you look at the value line unweighted index and other such more representative indicators, it's clear that 68 was the peak, and therefore that's what we're going on the basis of. And if you take, say that there was a peak in 1929, and then there was a peak in 1968, well, the time interval between there is 39 years. And if you take from 1968 to 2007, and you subtract those two dates, you also get 39 weeks. So you claim that that cycle on the top period is basically 39 weeks, or approximately 39 years, or approximately 40 years. The only thing about cycles, though, is if you measure them on the bottoms, they don't always come out the same as on the tops, because they're being skewed all the time. So if we look at the 1932 price low, and then we know that price low that's going to be 40 years later is actually the 1974 low, which is the lowest level for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and we make the calculation from 1932 to 1974 is, according to my math, is now 42 years. So we see a 40-year cycle that's running a little bit long. So the obvious thing that we'd like to know is, what is the next low going to be? Is it going to be 1974 plus 42 years, or is it going to be 1974 plus 42 years, 1974 plus 40 years, or 1974 plus 39 years? Well, if it's 1974 plus 42 years, you're going to end up in the year 2016. Otherwise, it's going to be 2014 or 2013. So you have a zone between 2013 to 2016. It isn't really necessary that the low is going to come up in that time period. It could be the center dates for a double bottom, one which occurs early and one which occurs later. So in the chart, which I developed the programs myself, I was able to put down in the lower right-hand corner 2010 marker and 2020 marker. So I have a zone in there, and that's my target area is. It could be as early as 2010, could be as late as 2020. The 2020 level is derivable from the fact that a cycle, if it's time symmetrical, would have equal upside momentum, downside momentum divisions within the cycle. So it'd be like 20 years up, 20 years down to go from bottom to bottom. And so if you thought you had a momentum peak in the year 2000, why don't you just say the low is 20 years later, which is 2020. So that's the other calculation that you do. And that's about all you can say. What you can say, as far as the magnitude is concerned, rather than divide this down into waves and just say that it's going to be done at the green channel, which is a very low number, instead of saying that, that's where it's going to be, you can just look at the peak in the oscillator in 2000, noting that it's the same level as the peak in 1929, and say investors got wiped out as a result of that speculative peak in 1929. And you can make the crude assumption, but just a vaguely crude discussion, that they're all going to be wiped out by 2020 as well, because you've got the same problem. It's an infection of all a house of cards. And you can also make the initial evaluation that it's going to be deflationary. And you can then ask the question, why are you interested in gold? Because gold is usually an inflation hedge. If you look at the channels, you're going to get up at the green channel, and you can figure out that you know, somehow you're going to get there. And but you might be disappointed until it doesn't show up until 2016 or to 2020. In between, the best tool for getting things to come out right is still the advanced decline tables, because they have a long history from 29 to the 07 top is coming out right. And but it would be always want to be suspicious. You ever took out the early March lows of this year, you know, the thing is going down there. But that I don't believe that's very likely. But you know, someday that's going to happen, and you know, whatever the year is. And so what you have to do is you have to work on a strategy. And what I did in the year 2000 was I realized that the common stock thesis was basically dead. And my particular business was based on growth funds. I'd come up with another business plan, because that doesn't really work, and it leads to ruin eventually. So it'll either ruin your business, or ruin individuals, or ruin the country, or whatever you want to phrase it. So I did some of the. It's very fascinating work, and you can use simple spreadsheets. And at some other future discussion, I'll take one of my old spreadsheets that I did the work in, and I'll show you. What I discovered. If you are looking for something to see, a hint as to where that's going, you can go look at the confidence indicator that I built out of the two, the junk bond fund and the treasury bond fund, which shows a preference, with investors a preference for buying high yield, high risk bonds, or low yield, very stable, very safe treasury bonds. And you make a ratio out of that, and you can see what their shifting emphasis is, and that's worked out really great. And you can see that if you watch the news now, you can see that the treasury bonds, the yields are rising, which means that the price is falling very rapidly as people are getting out of them. That is a vote of confidence for equities, because junk bonds are like equities. They're like a very high-yielding equity that's very risky. In other words, if it survives, you'll make a lot of money on the income return, but you know, maybe it's not going to survive. So the tipping point between whether you want something that's strong or something that's weak, something that's super strong but doesn't pay much, or it's weak but could pay off big under certain circumstances if you get a turn in the economy, basically, that tells you so much information that I'm going to have to readdress that study, and that's where you start to see some of the things that I introduce in later topics. Okay, that's it for today, and so we'll have to see how things go, I think probably everything's pretty much obvious from the updates that I've given. So have a good week, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.